Speaking on this program is Brother Kevin T.
You know, we live in a very challenging time for a number of reasons, but as you look in regard to working, good people, I think that we live in a day and age where fewer and fewer people aspire to work for a living. I speak to a lot of those who are employers, and they tell me that it's hard for them to find people to work, and if they are able to find people to work, sometimes it's almost impossible for them to keep those individuals working. Welfare numbers keep growing higher and higher each year. People are desiring to live off of the government, and yet at the same time, you and I know as citizens here in this world, in this country, is that that is not what welfare was designed for. Many people are lazy. If they are employed, some present themselves in a lazy manner. Some are not dependable, yet at the same time, there are some who are hard workers and very dependable. In all, what is it that God says in regard to you and me as workers, as citizens here in this world, working for a living? Good people, our God commands mankind to earn His keep. When we look to the context of the Old Testament Scripture in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15, we realize that God had created Adam and Eve after His image, and God had created an oasis in the Garden of Eden there for this man and this woman to partake of. Yet at the same time, according to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15, says the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and to keep it. That word tend from the original language is to cultivate. Adam had a responsibility to cultivate and to keep, to reap the harvest of the things that God was supplying for them. As you turn into Genesis chapter 3, the Bible reveals unto us that Adam and Eve sinned against God by partaking of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And as a result of that, the ground was cursed, the Bible tells us. And it brought forth thorns and thistles. And God said unto Adam that you are to earn your keep by the sweat of your brow. And that's paraphrased. What is it that God is saying? He says, Adam, you are going to have to work hard in order for the earth to provide for you. Adam was not alone. Good people, we understand is that God charged Israel that they were to work. In Genesis, or rather, Exodus chapter 20 and verse 11, 9 through 11 rather, we have in the context here where God has given the Ten Commandments unto the children of Israel. And in a part of that, He is setting up the Jewish work week and calendar. And He identifies that in 6 days, that word day there or days is yom in the Hebrew language, and that is a literal 24-hour day. And God identified unto these individuals that they were to labor, they were to work, they were to keep, earn their keep. How often were they to work? For 6 days, and yet at the same time, the Sabbath was the Lord's day. The Sabbath was to be kept holy, and they were to keep it as a consecrated day to focus upon God. God wanted Israel to understand that while He was there for them, and while He was going to supply for them, they had a role and a responsibility to play. The disciples also of the first century, as people were putting Christ on in baptism, they had to understand that not only did they have responsibilities as it pertained to their relationship with God as Christians in the church to work for God, but also they had a responsibility to work in society, to earn their keep by the sweat of their brow. In fact, as the Apostle Paul was speaking to the saints at Ephesus in the book of Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28, he says, "Let him who stole steal no more, working with his hands." It was not right to steal from a society standpoint, also from a biblical standpoint. It was not authorized by God. Well, how is it that this individual was to supply for himself as well as for his family? By putting his hands to the task, by working, earning his living. And God expects Christians today to work. You know, for those individuals who have a retirement, you are blessed. And certainly we rejoice with you, but yet at the same time, as we look to the Bible, we understand is that none of us are guaranteed a retirement here in this world. In fact, if you look at it from a society standpoint, times seem to be getting harder, and those jobs wherein that people are guaranteed some sort of a retirement here seem to be fewer and fewer. As God looks at the picture as it relates to our life and work in the church, but also as it would relate to our life and work here in society, God says that those who enter into His rest, the eternal rest, as we would enter into heaven in the end, then God says that we are to cease from our labor as He ceased His work in the creation. God commands mankind to work, to earn His keep. And God blesses mankind with personal talents. How is it that God blesses man? Good people, there are some who have natural gifts and talents. We identify these individuals who are very intelligent. We identify these individuals who have natural talents and abilities concerning their work abilities. And we would say that God has blessed these individuals with that natural gift and talent. But also, some are blessed because of the fact that they're able to go and to pursue a higher education, to earn a degree so that they're able to go out and to earn a good living. But also we understand is that some not only pursue education, others pursue training through vo-tech schools and things of that nature. And who is it that is responsible for these individuals, whether it is natural talents and gifts or the education that they receive or their training? The people are God is the one who blesses each and every one of us. And God also identifies that He promises you and me mankind strength while we are here. He supplies us wisdom. He gives us an intellect so that we're able to make decisions, wise decisions, as we go in and throughout life. If we are blessed with good health, we can trust that God, our God, the Creator of all things, is responsible for giving us good health as well as supplying you and me with the abilities. But yet at the same time, while we have the abilities, we need to have the mindset of the Apostle Paul and the trust of the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And our God also opens up doors for you and me to prosper. There are some who we identify as entrepreneurs. These individuals are gainfully self-employed, and we are blessed here in the church with individuals who have that mindset as well as that talent to go out and to be self-employed here in the nursery capital of the world. We have so many nursery men. And men, I'm going to go a little bit further and to say also along beside those nursery men are nursery women. You women get out and you work those fields with them in order to bring in the harvest. And even Brother Bishop. Brother Bishop has a machine shop, and I love it whenever he comes into the office. Sometimes he will have on his shirt where he's been down at the main shop, machine shop, and it says, Redneck Engineer. I like that. Some are gainfully employed, self-employed, and others are gainfully employed working for someone else. And who is it that has opened those doors for us? Good people, our God has opened those doors for us, but yet at the same time, our God wants us, He expects us to pursue those works. You and I have a responsibility not to be lazy. Why? Because the one who is lazy has nothing. Proverbs 13 and verse 4. In all our labors there is profit, but idle chatter leads only to poverty. Proverbs 14 and verse 23. God wants you and me to have an initiative. God wants you and me to have motivation to where that we will pursue those open doors, those opportunities that He lays before us in order for us to be gainfully employed. Well, what are some of the blessings that come forth from our working here in society? Good people, self-confidence as well as an increase in our abilities. Earl Jones and I share something in common. Only Earl did it a lot longer than I did, and that is being an upholsterer. I upholstered for some 14 and a half years, and I remember when I first started, Earl, I was terrible at upholstery. I think I stapled my hand more than I did the fabric, and that's not wise. And I remember, though, that as the time went on, got better at what it is that I was doing as well then, to be able to step back and to see the finished product. Self-confidence grew as well as self-esteem for what it is that we are engaged in. And I know that while upholstery is what I'm talking about, you are able to take and to have self-esteem because of the things that you do in life, and your abilities continue to increase. God continues to bring that forth in our lives, and what a blessing that is. And God wants you and me to rejoice. In fact, in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 22, Solomon says, man should rejoice in his works. Why? Because it is his heritage. It is indeed who we are, what in part we've been created for in regard to our work in society, but yet at the same time as Christians, we know that we have been created and fashioned after the image of God to be productive citizens in His kingdom. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. The Apostle Paul took pride as well as took joy in his labors, his labor, his working amongst Christians, as well as whenever he was able to put his hands to the work in society. This man took great joy and pride in knowing that he was able, blessed and able to work. But also the Bible identifies that our families are able to receive the necessities of what is necessary in life. God blesses our hands, Deuteronomy 15 and verse 10. God blesses the things that we go to do as we live our life faithful before Him, as we use our hands to put food on the table. God is providing for our family, but also God sends forth rain to supply the water that is necessary for food growth, as well as to quench our thirst, those things that are necessary for life. And our families are supplied for whenever we put our hands to the work. Even as a congregation, we abound. We grow more and more, numerically and spiritually. Why? Because we are able to do the works that God presents before us. And someone will say, well, Kevin, what do you mean? That if I'm working in society, that is a blessing unto the congregation? Most certainly, because of the example, the influence that you're giving off as you are out there working as a citizen of the kingdom of God, and you're working in a productive way in society. What a blessing that is to the church. But also, as you give back, as we prosper, also we give back unto the Lord through the church. We give upon the first day of the week as we've been prospered. And we understand concerning our giving that we are not to give grudgingly or out of necessity, but rather that God loves a cheerful giver. And whenever we give as we have prospered and we give with the right attitude, our God is glorified and our God's work is going to increase. How so? Because through our giving, good people, we understand that as we give in the contribution, support is there, not only locally, but support is there universally. It was announced a few minutes ago by Brother Charlie that we're giving to GBN and other works. Not only at this time, but we're giving on a continual basis. We have helped to support individuals who have gone through the schools of preaching. And I know, as an individual who was a recipient of that, me and my family going through the school years ago, a brethren helped to support us. How were they able to do that? Through members who were gainfully employed and giving back to the work of the church. What a blessing that is, as God blesses us to be able to work also, though, to be able to work in His kingdom by giving back. And our God is glorified, certainly through our good work ethics. Good people, as we work, we must have a good ethic. You know, we live in a society today that says that when it comes to ethics, it's that it depends upon what society you are a part of, and that will determine what your ethics are. There is but one true ethic, and good people, that ethic is the Christian ethics. And that is defined for us continually in Scripture. We have examples in the Old Testament Scripture of what good ethics are all about, but also we have identified what true Christian New Testament principles identify concerning Christian ethics in the New Testament Scripture. And as you and I engage in work, as we are gainfully employed and doing what it is that God commands us to do as Christians in the workplace, our God is glorified. These people see what it is that we're doing. They listen to our attitude towards being at work. We talk about that while we're in the workplace, that we do not want to use profanity, that we do not want to engage in off-color jokes and things of that nature. In fact, we should never do those things, amen? But also, how do you talk about while you're at work? Do you talk about how blessed you are to be able to be at work? Or do you speak illy about your employer or about the things that you're doing at work? We ought to speak well in regard to our work. Why? Because people see us and people listen to us and people will talk about our position and the positions that we take at work. But also God identifies, giving us some warnings. He says, the one who refuses to work should not eat. The Old Testament and New Testament alike identifies this. An idle person will suffer hunger. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 15. He who will not work, neither shall he eat. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 10. Note what he says in the context. He who will not work. Somebody says, well, Kevin, I've been unemployed for some time simply because of the poor economy. And I've been trying my hardest to get employment. And are you saying that I should not eat? Absolutely not. Not if you're trying to do all that you possibly can to be gainfully employed. The context says, he who will not work, the one who says, I'm not going to do this, the one who says, I'm going to live off of the government, or the one who says, I'm going to just live off of the churches, those individuals shall not eat. In the first century, let's place it to the context. It appears in the context that individuals was expecting Jesus to return any minute. Was He promised to return? Yes, He was, and He still is. And we know that He's going to return. It appears from the context of Scripture here is that these individuals had stopped working and they were expecting Jesus to return any time, and therefore they said, let's all just quit working. Weren't they happy though that there were some who continued to work and who were feeding them? Paul says, listen, we don't know when the Lord's going to return. He's going to return as a thief in the night. And we need to be gainfully employed. We need to not only be working as productive citizens in society, we also need to be involved in the Lord's work. That's the context of what's going on there. And God warns us is that we need to do all that we can as long as our physical and mental and health is there. We need to be engaged in being employed in life and earning our keep. A lazy person is worse than an infidel. The Scripture identifies unto us that he who does not provide for his own is worse than an infidel. The one who will not, and that's again very important, who will not supply for his own. There are people who have circumstances that fall upon them where they cannot work, and therefore they have to rely on government checks or even upon help from the church from time to time. But these individuals make a choice that they do not want to work. They're not going to. They're just going to live off of society. And God says that those individuals who make that choice, He says they're worse than an infidel. What's an infidel? Worse than an unbeliever. But also, there's the other side of the story, the other end of all things, and that is that it can lead to greed. It can lead to wrongful gain, and it can lead to selfishness. He says the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It's not the root of evil, but it is the root of all kinds of evil. And if we are greedy, if we are selfish, if we are seeking gain in a wrong way, God identifies is that we have a love for money. And good people, we will stand before God guilty of this. But also, God wants you and me to trust in Him, to do our part, and not to worry where we're going to gather our goods. Now somebody says, well, does that mean then that we can lay down and God's going to give it to us? Absolutely not. What that means is that as we are working, as times may grow hard, we need to trust in God that He's going to supply for us. If it means that we put out a garden, We put out a garden. If it means that we pursue other work, we continue to pursue those other works, and God's going to supply for us. And what's the assurance that He gives in the context? He says, consider the lilies of the field. Look how beautiful they are. Who supplies for them? Our God does. Consider the sparrows. He says, don't they look fit? Who supplies for them? God does. Well, what must be our focus? He says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. God will indeed provide for those who are focused upon Him, as well as those who are pursuing the avenues that He commands of us. As we work, the context of Colossians chapter 3, verses 22 through 25, reveals unto us that we are to labor as we are working for the Lord. The context here is the relationship between the master and the slave, the bondservant. The bondservant is the individual who owed something to this individual, and therefore, because they were not able to make the payment, they go under obligation to that individual to work for them until the debt is paid. And he says that as you are working for this individual, you need to focus, you need to commit as if you are working for the Lord. Why? What is it that God requires of you and me as we are working for Him? Good people, God requires you and me to give Him 100% as we're working in the kingdom. And therefore, if we take and parallel that over to society, and as we are working out here in society, God wants us to give 100% as we work for our employers. But also, as we think in regard to working for our employer, as we're working for the Lord, we ought to work joyfully. And somebody says, Kevin, you've not done my job. Oh, there's times that I've done your job. Maybe not your job, but I've done work in society, 14 and a half years just as an upholsterer, and other odd jobs along the way. And let me tell you, I've done some pretty interesting jobs. And I know how challenging they can be, but yet at the same time, we ought to take joy to know that we have the ability, to know that God is blessing us and that we have this opportunity, even today in this tough society, to be able to go out and to be gainfully employed. We ought to work as we are working for the Lord with great joy as well as much appreciation. As Christian, don't we appreciate our God for what it is that He does for us as we work and labor for Him? And let us also appreciate those individuals that we have an opportunity to work for. In like figure, we have a responsibility and we are required by God, as well as by the laws of the land, to always put in an honest day's labor. The Bible very clearly identifies that we are not to steal. We should not engage in stealing from our employer money. We should not engage in stealing from our employer goods. Let me tell you, I've been around some people who says, after they put in some time for an employer, and they say, well, I'm just going to take this. Well, why are you taking that? Well, they won't miss it. Oh, I don't care if they miss it or not. If you take it, what have you done? You stole from them. They say, well, I put in 10 years or I put in 20 years. Surely it's not going to hurt. Who says it's not going to hurt? Stealing is stealing, isn't it? But then let's take it a step further. Not only should we not take, must we not take money or material goods, we need to not steal time from them. That's giving ourselves 100% over to our employer while we are here. And let me say, I didn't have any employers come and ask me to say this tonight. It's coming from the Scripture. God wants us to work an honest day's labor. And also then, we understand is that we are to receive an honest day's pay. We are to obey the employer in all things. You say, Kevin, what does that mean? If you go back into the context of the lesson last week, the Scripture said that the children were to obey the parents in all things. Well, what did we see there? Whether we agree with it or not. Yet at the same time, is it ethical? Again, what's our standard of ethics? Christian ethics. Is it ethical with God? As long as they are not asking us to do things that is ungodly, that is illegal, as well as those things that are reasonable in regard to what it is that they have a right to ask us to do as an employer in our employee relationship. But then also, if you go to the context of Colossians chapter 4 and verse 1, we understand is that there are some instructions given in a very concise manner to the employer, to the employee, that the employees are to be treated properly. Well, what does that mean? The employer must work with the employee to be honest, to be fair with them, to give them a proper work environment. Well, what does that mean? That they don't work in a place that's kind of like a dungeon, that they do not work in a place that's not beneficial to them and to their health, that they're going to be able to work in an environment wherein that they're going to be able to do what it is that you're asking them to do. But also in regard to all of this is that they work in an environment that's not going to jeopardize their religious convictions. Amen? And as Christians, that is very important to you and me as we live our life in Christ. But also they need to provide a honest and fair pay, the going rate, as well as those things that are going to help their employee to be able to do well in life and to have a proper behavior before these individuals. We live in a society today where that we find sexual abuse and all forms of abuse taking place in the workplace. And if employers would just work to cut those things out, I know you're always going to have things, but they need to take steps. They need to take the initiative to do what they can to give the right place, the right environment, the right situations to those who work and labor for them. What about you? Tonight, while we have been talking about working in society and our responsibilities as God would define it, what about you tonight? Are you working for the Lord? According to what Jesus taught in the book of Luke chapter 11 and verse 23, He who is against me is not for me. If you're not on the Lord's side, if you're not a Christian, you're against God. Let me tell you this. Also, though, He would stand against you. Why? Because you're not working with Him. Because you're not counted as one of His faithful. As God is against you, that does not mean that He's working against you in life, but rather it means that as you stand before God in judgment, He will stand opposed to you. But yet at the same time, it doesn't have to be like that. God wants so much for people to become Christians, to have their sins washed away, and to be raised to walk in newness of life. Tonight, are you here and are you subject to the Lord's invitation? Have you confessed Christ to be the Son of the living God? Have you submitted yourself to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin and then to live your life faithful before God? If not, why not make that choice tonight to put Christ on in baptism and to become one of His children?